Good morning again. We are storytelling people. It's how we communicate our histories, our memories, our triumphs, and our failures. It's how we tell jokes and give humor our context. And indeed, parties are usually made better by the presence of great storytellers. So with this in mind, I want to tell you a story that began long ago but continues to this day. A story of a land first called Babel, where everyone spoke the same language, followed the same rules, and they built an incredible community. They thought for them nothing was impossible, or so they believed. But for this, they also believed that God scrambled their language, split them apart, and scattered them across the lands, making them unable to understand one another or to live in a community. And their society fell apart. In its place grew a city called Babylon. Fast forward 1,000 years, and Babylon has a king. His name is Nebuchadnezzar, whose name means something like, "God, protect my boundary stone." God, protect my boundary stone. And as many kings were wont to do back then, King Nebuchadnezzar went out in the summer to try and conquer a few more lands to make his kingdom richer and more powerful. He conquered a small kingdom near the Mediterranean called Israel and its southern neighbor called Judah, whose capital city was called Jerusalem. Sometime before, both the Israelites and the Judahites, their ancestors had been imprisoned in a land called Egypt that looked much like this Babylon. The Babylonian takeover reminded them all too well of what their stories told. Their lands became part of the Babylonian Empire, and all of a sudden, the Israelites and the tribe of Judah found themselves living in a foreign land that had until very recently been their home. So now they had to adapt to new circumstances, obey new laws, comply with new rulers, and all of a sudden, they are strangers in their own land. They are resident aliens in Babylon's empire. So Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, he wants to get the best and the brightest of these new immigrants to his kingdom. So he brings in a group of young people to learn and grow and better themselves, to become Babylonian. And among these young men is one called Daniel. Not our Daniel, a different Daniel. Daniel is not Babylonian. He's a stranger, an alien, an immigrant. And the Babylonians tell Daniel and his countrymen, "You must conform. Learn the Babylonian language. Eat the Babylonian food. Obey the Babylonian laws." And Daniel pleads with the new rulers, "Please, let us learn. Let us learn and grow in our own way, retaining some of our old Judahite customs and laws." And the king allows them. And Daniel and his friends begin to thrive in the rich kingdom of Babylon, even while retaining some of their own customs. But then Nebuchadnezzar has a troubling dream, and he's scared. And he does what all kings did back then. He calls for someone to tell him what it means. So he calls for the smartest Babylonians, and they cannot answer him. And the king gets angry. He wants answers from his people, the people like him, the Babylonians. But they can't provide him with an answer. So he calls for the men from the tribe of Judah, Daniel. And Daniel tells him what the dream means. And the news is not good for King Nebuchadnezzar. "God, protect my boundary stone." And in the vision, the king of Babylon saw a great statue. It was made of gold and silver and bronze and iron and clay. It stands tall, gleaming in the sun, full of promise and pride, until it falls apart and crumbles. And the once glorious statue lies broken in pieces, fractured along those lines of gold, silver, bronze, iron, and clay. And Daniel explains to the king that the statue is Babylon. And like the statue, the kingdom is made of different kinds of people, and some are tough, strong, and inflexible, like bronze and iron. Some are beautiful and valuable, like gold and silver. And some are weaker, but willing to fill the cracks and empty spaces in the foundations to make the entire statue strong, like the clay. When the statue falls apart, when the pieces are not held together in one unit, divided, they fall. And the king throws himself to the ground and cries and wails, "Daniel, tell me what to do." Nebuchadnezzar wants to know what to do to protect his boundary stone, his kingdom. Daniel replies that you have to build your kingdom like the statue, but ground it in something else, ground it in a faith of diversity, built on unity of purpose, something he calls the kingdom of God. Daniel says when all are working for a common purpose and with common commitment, nothing is impossible. And a kingdom that reigns over justice and peace and prosperity will never fall apart. Of course, Nebuchadnezzar does not follow Daniel's advice, and Babylon does not become like the kingdom of God. And prophets cry out for years, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great." Daniel and his people remember. Treat foreigners well, for remember that you were foreigners in the land of Egypt, in the land of Babylon. Remember that you were strangers. Strangers, foreigners, aliens, illegals, others. We have many names for people who are not like us. We give them names to make them out to be separate, not similar. We even have a story for how these differences came to be. We call it the Tower of Babel, when God split up the languages and the people of the earth because of their belief that they were perfect. It's a story for a storytelling people, a way to pass on memory, history, and even humor. I think the story of Babel is funny because it's hilariously ironic. I think the joke is not that God split up Babel to create the divided Babylon. I think we did. I think we try so hard to make out otherness in people sometimes, to assume that they are simple and easy to understand. I personally assume that there are no nuances in the lives of people not like me, of illegals, of foreigners, Republicans. There's only the fact that they are not like me, like us. They're strangers in my land, in my church, in my city, in my country. And I forget that I have been a stranger, felt out of place here, in this very church, in fact. I sometimes fancy myself complex and mysterious and different. And the Christian seminarian who's not a UU but works at a UU church. I learned earlier that that's news to some people. If that is news to you, surprise. I sometimes assume that I'm the only one who experiences God, that force that binds us together on an atomic level, surrounds us, penetrates our souls to the depth of our being, to the ground of our existence. And how quickly I forget that maybe I'm not alone. We are deeply complicated, and yet we somehow make the assumption that others are not as complicated as we are. Sometimes all we see is otherness. I think the big joke isn't that God created the human desire to protect our boundary stone. We named our kings that. We, the Babylonians, still fighting the same battles, still trying to build our statue, our colossus, but unsure whether to make it iron, gold or silver or bronze or clay. And I think God can't help but giggle at that foolishness. Because our world today reflects the same plight facing Daniel and his people. Warring nations redraw borders, put up walls with little thought for the people already living in those areas. And all of a sudden, they become strangers in their own land. Witness the conquest of the New World by colonial powers, the annexation of the American Southwest in the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, the creation of the State of Israel out of the land of Palestine in 1948, after America denied Jewish people, Jewish exiles, a right to live here. These histories are complex, but the central conflict is very simple. Land, a home, a place to live. In these cases, people living and working for generations in the same lands suddenly find themselves without a home, or in the wrong country, or discriminated against based on the color of their skin or the language they speak. None of these problems are solved. People of different tones, ethnic and religious backgrounds, they begin to struggle either to conserve out of fear or to take land from others out of desperation. This forces mass migrations of people in search of a new home and creates a cycle. Indeed, Daniel and his Israelite brothers did not cross the borders of Babylon illegally. The borders of Babylon crossed them. Some Mexican Americans will tell you the exact same thing about their problem today. Some of our country's lawmakers want to cement that reality. In the Middle East, Palestinians were told by other Arab nations, after the creation of the State of Israel, they were assured that they would be allowed to come back within just a few days. And that was 67 years ago. These tensions and struggles, they surround immigration, discrimination, citizenship. And they get described in religious, political, national security language. But they're about people trying to find a home, a place to live, not just to exist, but to live. And as Daniel from Israel pleaded with King Nebuchadnezzar, please let us live in our own way here in your borders. Let us live as we know how and see if we prosper. But how many of our neighbors have been called illegal? It's just another word we use to describe someone who we think is different from us. And we make up these categories to separate ourselves out, just like at the Tower of Babel. And we claim superiority by virtue of what side of an imaginary line we were born on. And we make these claims, these ideological statues of gold and silver and bronze and iron and clay. And we call out for someone to tell us what our statue should be made of. We can't stand to see it crumble when someone challenges it with humanity and the notion that maybe, just maybe, everyone is created equal. So we cry out for a higher power to decide, a senate, a house, a government, a president, a court, a supreme being. But as our Daniel story reminds us, this just makes God laugh. So when God looks at us, all God sees is gold. The fundamental sameness that is the sign of our creation, that the visible differences between us and them, we and they, they're simply beautiful oil paintings decorating a common canvas. We are, at our depths, more like Babel than we know, but we act like Babylon. So where do we find hope? In a country and world that treats borders as biological distinctions and labels the others as illegals, savage, third world, God-forsaken, where do we look for hope or humor? I think we look to our own stories, to our own complicated history, our own Colossus, our new Colossus, our Lady Liberty, the giant of Greek fame, the one who cries out with silent lips, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Send these homeless tempest tossed me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." A country with the capability to build a statue of symbolic gold and bronze and silver and iron and clay that can't crumble because it is bound by a love of the spirit and a love of the other. A statue of liberty that welcomes you to the potential kingdom of God. I look back on a nation whose history includes mass immigration from an old world to a new, that's already teeming with life, that crossed over the borders and made the borders cross over others. I see how far we've come, and yet how far we still have to go. So I look back on this and I remember, just as the Israelites were once strangers in Egypt and in Babylon, just as my ancestors were once strangers in North America, remember that we were once strangers, and so we are to love the strangers among us. A stranger, after all, is just a friend you haven't met yet, as my mother, Frankie B., is fond to say. Even strangers have an inherent worth and dignity. So we must hope in the knowledge that when God looks down at us, God doesn't see illegal or legal, Mexican or American, Israeli or Palestinian, Unitarian or Christian. When God looks down, all God sees is gold. We are a nation, a world of gold. Beautiful, sacred, shining sea of gold. Souls bound together in a beloved community just waiting to be realized. the beloved community that Daniel refers to as the kingdom of God, just on the horizon, waiting to arrive and outlast any of our ancient towers or colossal statues or invisible borders. We can build that kingdom as politically charged, emotionally taxing, and physically draining as it is. This is the good news for the world. So let us be bearers of that news, prisoners of that hope. Let us recall the words from the book of Exodus, repeated again and again. You shall also love the stranger, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt and Babylon. For all of us have been strangers in a city, a country, a neighborhood, a church. The beloved community, the kingdom of God community, in it there will be no strangers. For that vision of Daniel to become a reality, let us start here today, tearing down Babylon, building up a space dedicated to sharing stories, looking at strangers or immigrants or others, and doing the hard, hard, hard work of seeing nothing but gold. And as our Statue of Liberty, our new Colossus, vows to lift the lamp beside the golden door with welcoming arms for all who seek refuge in our community, let us be a part of this new sanctuary movement. Let us see gold, and let us be gold. Amen.